These shiurim, so we spoke about for a while Torah Shebaal Peh, and we tried to speak about why we learn Torah Shebaal Peh, what makes Torah Shebaal Peh unique, why there's such an emphasis, how Bali Machshava relate to the fact that there's an emphasis on Limud Gemara and other questions like that. We spoke last time, which was a while ago, it's been a while that we haven't had Friday's year. We spoke last time a bit about Nevuah, and really we're going to have a couple weeks now on the role of a Navi. We spoke last time just to go over things a little bit so we can be clear on a machlokas between the Rambam and the Kuzari. How does Nevuah work? For the Kuzari, it's more of a gift from Hashem. Certain people just get it and certain people don't get it. For the Kuzari, though, it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's limited to Jews. For the Kuzari, it's a very specific kind of gift that you get if you are born with the like Inyan Eloki. You have a certain divine kind of elevated existence. We saw that the Rambam understands that Nevuah is more of a natural phenomenon. Nevuah is something which can occur really anywhere at all times. If you get to a certain level, so then pretty much it's automatic that you're going to become a prophet, unless Hashem decides for whatever reason not to make you into one. What I want to talk about today is a very interesting question that the Rishonim were very much bothered with. It's a bit less of a contemporary question, but how do we know if someone's really a Navi or not? How do you know if what they're saying is Nevuah, or if they are either delusional / crazy, or maybe not delusional or crazy, but they're manipulative, they're trying to, the notion of false prophets and false messiahs is something which historically we're very much aware of. So how do you know? How do you know if someone's really a Navi or someone's not a Navi? Like, what do they have to do to prove whether they are or are not considered to be a Navi? That's something which the Rambam talks about at length in his Hakdama to Perush HaMishnah. The Rambam speaks about it also in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, the Ran and the Drashas HaRan, the Abar Benel. Many, many of the Rishonim, the Gaonim, were very bothered with this question. How do I know if someone's really considered to be a Navi or not? What exactly has to happen for me to figure some of these things out? So let's start with what we know, and then we'll clarify and try to elaborate on what we don't know. The Chumash does something interesting, and this is bothers some of the Rishonim. Chumash really tells us how we know that someone is not considered to be a good Navi. We're told how we figure out, it's in Dvarim Parsha Shoftim, Dvarim Yud Ches. We're told how do we figure out who is really considered to be out of it. Who's not really a Navi. So there we know that if someone says something, either you're talking in terms of you predict something which does not come true, so you're not really considered to be a Navi. The Rambam is going to write about how if you tell people to go worship Avodah Zarah, you're also not considered to be a good Navi. The inverse or the converse, that's not so clear. How do we know, end of the day, is someone considered to be a prophet or not? So let's start by unpackaging a couple of different things. There's one mahalach out there. It's a mahalach that comes from the Gaonim, and it's one that is very logical. The Gaonim, it's probably Reb Tzadia Gaon in Emunos Videos. It's in some of the other, it could be in the Otzar Gaonim also. The Ran may assume like this, the Abar Benel may assume like this. If you want to prove that you're a Navi, you have to come along and do something absolutely miraculous. You have to have a legit oath. Something which is going to potentially change nature. You have to do something which is a little bit wild. The same way that Moshe Rabbeinu, or Elio, or Elisha, depending on what we're up to in the Nachshirim at night, that there were Nevi'im that tried to prove that there were osos. At least that's one way of looking at it. They did miraculous things in order to prove, I am really a Navi. I am really someone who's a Navi. Who's going to do the figuring out for these Gaonim? How are we going to do it? So the Gaonim assume, this is what we'll have a different time in a second, but Rav Hai Gaon assumes that's done by the Sanhedrin. So Hedrin's going to sit there, and it's almost going to be like, I hate to like give these references, but I don't know, it's like America's Got Talent. You know, like you have your judges there, and no, that's the show where the two from guys, the beatboxer. That guy's amazing. Where they're sort of there, like Sanhedrin's sitting there behind it, you know, and someone gets up on stage and he's like doing his oath, and you're saying like, you know, like, whatever, the score gets high enough that guy is now considered to, okay, he's a Navi, we're good to go. When you do that, this is important to figure out. When you do that, it may not in and of itself clarify with 100% certainty who's really considered to be a Navi or not. Could be we're not going to know 100% because there are ways of doing, there are magicians out there, and there are ways that have access to sorcery or things like that. But if they do it, so that may be enough for us to assume, for us to assume that they are considered to be a Navi, barring anything else that happens to come along that's somewhat unforeseen. But more or less, we're going to assume that they really are considered to be a Navi based on their miraculous events. Now, if they say something and it ends up not being true, then we know that they're also not considered to be a Navi. We'll elaborate this in a second. But at minimum, the way that it gets started, the way that you're going to get in there as a Navi, is that you're supposed to walk in, you're going to do some sort of an oath to prove it a little bit, and now we're going to know that you're really a Navi. The Rambam in his Hakdama to Peirush HaMishnah does not like this at all. The Rambam writes, if I can... He says, we're not focusing so much on Osos Umofsim. He says, why am I explaining who a Navi is? Because Zayi so gadol shekvar shagubu kol hamoni bnei adam v'gamas in mispar meham yichadim shabahem. There are some excellent people, says the Rambam, who have made mistakes. Sehem sovrim shanevuah lotus ames achol toin ela ad asoso os ke osos Moshe Rabbeinu. They think that you have to do a miracle like the miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam does not like this so much. If I can make a quick R, I think we referenced this. I don't remember if we did reference this. Definitely not in America spoke about this. The Rambam happens, it's very Rambam. The Rambam's not a big believer in miracles playing that much of a role. The Rambam's not, there are like, you know, there are people that like, they love those stories that are all about miracles. Like, you get like Chassid Rebbe, that's something really funky, and like then you're suddenly like, those are the best. So there we showed him also, they were very, very into miracles and things being miraculous. Not only that, not only things being miraculous, but miracles playing a fundamental role in our Avodas Hashem. That miracles, the Ramban as an example, if we've shown him, the Ramban is in general that miracles play a critical role in our Avodas Hashem. That miracles are, you know, for some we've shown him, miracles are the basis of all of our Amunah. That miracles are the basis of our faith. The fact that there was a Minor Sinai that was miraculous serves as the basis for a lot of our Amunah. The Rambam is not the biggest believer in miracles playing that much of a role. The Rambam's a believer that miracles can happen, but the Ramban critiques the Rambam for arguing that all miracles, like you just took all miracles and made them into Teva, made them into nature. The Rambam's not the biggest believer in miracles doing that much. That's why, but it's Hanukkah time, that's why Pirsum Hanes, Shigar points out for the Rambam, is fascinating. Because the Rambam's not the biggest believer in Nisim being so important. Okay. What does the Rambam think? How do you prove whether someone's considered to be a Navi or not? If it's not based on the tricks, the Rambam thinks tricks aren't so simple because lots of people can do tricks and lots of people can do miraculous things sometimes, and not only the VM he thinks seem to do miraculous things. The Rambam writes in Peirush HaMishnah, he writes similarly in Perek Yud of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam writes that's not really Nevi'im that did miraculous things, they were always for a reason. The reason why why Moshe is involved in Kriyas Yamsuf is not to show a cool trick so you're going to believe him. The reason why the Rambam's involved in Kriyas Yamsuf is because Kriyas Yamsuf serves a purpose. Miracles are there for a reason. The reason being that Klal Yisrael could get through and the Egyptians were going to suffer a terrible death. That's how things work for the Rambam. So we got to figure out, so how do I really tell? So we're going to talk about things in a couple of different levels, and some of this is going to make a lot of sense within the Rambam. Number one, we are only talking, about people who are ra'oi, who are at a certain madrega. The only people who can really become the Nevi'im are people who are of certain milas. Who are those milas? The Rambam writes in Perek Zion of Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, Hanevi'im milas, it's first of all in Perek Aleph, you have to be a chacham gadol b'chachma, you have to be a very, very wise person, gibor b'midosav, you're someone, basically the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, someone who has perfected his midos, lo yiyitzo mizgaber alav b'davar b'olam. You have to be someone who is, if you have like no yitzer hara, meaning the Navi you're talking about is a person who's not doing tricks, it's a person who is of a very, very high intellectual and right and level of tzidkus. He's a righteous person that's going to be there. He's going to be shalei begufo. He's going to be someone who is He's elevated. He's elevated. The Emek Bracha, the Sefer, Rav Paranchek, he's a Talmud of the Briska Rav. So he points out, what does the Sanhedrin do? The goal of Sanhedrin is not to like test their miracles. Sanhedrin does one thing. They're going to let Klal Yisrael know, is this guy ra'oi to be a nevuah, to be a Navi? What level is this guy at? You want to know if someone's a Navi? So what level? So yeah, that's why sometimes I the crazy guy that's like telling the future, so sometimes if he's not at that madriga, there's no conversation to have at all. At all. It could even be for the Rambam, this the Minchas Chinuch deals with, if you get up and your mom is, you're not even right at all, and you start being a false Navi, could be you're not Chayv Misa. Could be to be a false Navi means that you're in the you're Shayach to Nevuah, you're just not there all the way. You're in the realm of Navi, you're not fully you're saying something which is somewhat incorrect. So according to Rambam, number one, you have to have certain midos. You have to be an elevated person. The Gemara says in Masachas Nedarim. Step number two, it's not really about, it's not really, the way we figure out if you're a Navi is not based on what you do, but rather on what you say. What you say. How do we know if someone's a Navi or not? Right, there's like there's a well-known figure in the Dati Lumi world, who's like a mixas, like, what's his name? The wild guy. No.
There's a long list.
No, the one who was like kidnapped for a couple of years on some level. Ramir Ben Arti, is that possible?
Kayim Ben Arti.
No. I'm happy that we all...
Is it the voodoo?
No.
I don't know. Yeah, you have something. You have to be a person in certain madriga. But how do we figure it out? We figure it out when you are someone. We figure it out when you are someone... based on what you say. And the Rambam tells us the following. This is going to be just some basic klalim, and then we'll try to elaborate a little bit on what's really going on here before the Rambam. The Rambam writes number one. It's all about what you say. So, certain things if you say, we know for sure you're not a Navi. If you speak, either tell people, well, Avodah Zarah told me to say something, or you say that Hashem told me that you should worship Avodah Zarah, no conversation whatsoever, you're certainly not a Navi. No Navi would ever say that. The Ribbono Shel Olam would never send a message that you're supposed to worship Avodah Zarah, nor would Avodah Zarah ever really communicate with someone. Avodah Zarah, then we know that you're really not a Navi at all. I should just point out very briefly, because I read the book last week, and on the one hand, we Derech Klal assume, because the Gemara tells us the Yitzhara for Avodah Zarah is not around anymore, and Isurim of Avodah Zarah are Isurim that we do not typically violate. It'd be hard to like mess around with real Avodah Zarah Isurim. Rabbi Rebelsky, they came up with a safer Rebelsky on alternative medicine. This is just not really interesting. Rebelsky claims that some of the New Age medicine is nothing other than old school of Avodah Zarah. Some of what's in some of the alternative medicine, if you look at it, there's even like some of the Lashonos they use at times is like you're praying to Mother Earth to help you be able to protect it. A lot of like the chi or whatever you call it, the energy, that a lot of what you're doing like in certain views of like acupuncture, certain. And certain other alternative medicines, there's this external energy force that like is around your body, and that the theory being that as long as you're in a good state of balance, you're always going to be okay. That's what part of like acupuncture is. Not what something that they do just for nerve reasons, but it would be about like trying to get a certain like balance with you and like the energy force around you. That force may be Rebelsky time does. It's not my area of expertise at all. That force is what we call like actual Avodah Zarah. Like you're arguing that there is an energy force that controls things. I think in certain Eastern religions that energy force is God. Some of these things are very, very wild, but the notion of Avodah Zarah, the force on the one hand, Chazal tells us the Tahara for Avodah Zarah went away. It doesn't mean that all forms of Avodah Zarah are no longer applicable. And Adarabha, the world sometimes, as Rebelsky critiques, is getting more into this, like it's almost like the weirder it is sometimes, like the more like it's Moshech. The more it like pulls you, the more in it is, the more like it must be true, because like why would someone do that if it weren't really crazy? And sometimes it gets just crazy Avodah Zarah from like, you know, way back. Either way, so if someone tells you to worship Avodah Zarah, or Belsky would say to tell you to do alternative medicine, or they tell you to, not all forms, please, many of them, or someone would tell you to that Avodah Zarah communicated with me, so that's something which would postulate you entirely. However, here you get into a lot of interesting machlokes. The Rambam maintains as follows. What do I do? How do I find out? So now the guy's coming, he's telling me to do Torah mitzvos, he's telling me future events. So how do I figure out, based on the Navi, if he's a real Navi or not a Navi? So Rambam says like this, this is what we do. The only kind of nevuah that we use to figure out if you're really a Navi, says the Rambam, are nevuahs that are positive nevuahs that are given to a Navi to give over to other people. Nevuahs that are given over to publicize to other people that are positive, those, if you, bod ken oso, something the Mefarshim should point out, three times, we're going to check this guy. If every single thing he says comes true, every single thing he says about a positive nevuah in which he's giving it over to other people, that is something now we know that he is considered to be a Navi. He's mostly as a Navi. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, if he's mostly right, but a little bit wrong, he's not a Navi and we will kill him. He's a Navi Sheker. He has to be 100% correct, which means, just to clarify, much as we may speak about sometimes the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu coming with a greater sense of clarity, that Moshe Rabbeinu has a greater sense of clarity, all Nevi'im still are 100% clear in what they're supposed to communicate and 100% certain in what they're doing. The Rambam and Mor Nevuchim writes as much in regards to the Akedah, that part of one of the ideas we learned about the Akedah, there's no way Avram would have done this if there was any room for suffering. Nevuah is certain. Nevuah is 100%. Sorcerers, says the Rambam, or the people that do like the horoscopes, whatever that, you know, that, all those, they can be right sometimes. They can be right a lot of the time, but they're never going to be right all of the time. All the time. So we're going to be both kenoso, we're going to check him. Sanhedrin's going to say, is this guy right for it? So the Emek Bracha learns it. We're then going to look around and we're going to say, okay, public thing. What about, it's called two things, exceptions. A negative nevuah, so the Rambam holds a negative nevuah, is a nevuah that could be undone. If the Navi says there's going to be Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and B'nai Yisrael with your tshuva could be undone. If Yonah comes, and Yonah says, I'm going to destroy you, and it ends up being that Ninveh does tshuva, it's going to be undone. Negative nevuahs can be undone. Also, positive nevuahs given over to the Navi can also be undone. That's why the Rambam says Yaakov is terrified. Yaakov is scared before he meets Esav, even though Hashem said, I'm going to protect you, because that was a positive nevuah only given over to him. Nevuah, that's for the Rambam, the way that we are able to check. Don't follow miracles. Don't follow Oso Sumosim. The way we're going to do it, says the Rambam, is based on what you say, which means as follows. We have two very different mahalchim in terms of how a person gets established as a Navi. The mahalach of many of the Gaonim is going to be that it's coming from an Os Umofes, maybe even one that changes nature. That's going to get you in there. For the Rambam, it's going to be much more about what you say. All agree that a Navi has to be a person of a certain stature. For the Emek Bracha, that's Bezin's going to check out, like, are you even Ra'i for it? For the Rambam, what I say, in order to figure out if I'm saying anything about Avodah Zarah, you're for sure not good. If it's not about Avodah Zarah, so if it's something which is bad or something which is Tov but private, we have no way of figuring out if what you're saying is true or not. When it is Tov and it's given over in a public way, so now we know for sure that there's something here which is real. That's that. How are we doing so far? 1, 2, and 3. Good, how are you doing? Great. One, two, and... Great, okay. Let me try and elaborate on 2 points. Yeah.
What if you say something that's like, 100 years in the future?
So then it could be that that would not be an indication one way or the other. I mean, if it hasn't come true yet.
And the same thing if he's claiming that he has like personal rules.
Personal rules also don't matter that much.
We just say like he's crazy or whatever.
Or we'd say maybe he's nothing, but I have no way of figuring it out. No, personal nevuah would not be
that.
You
mean a personal nevuah that didn't come true?
Yeah, personal nevuahs don't always have to come true. Yeah.
After these three times, do we care if it's like 90% correct?
No, it has to always be 100%. Okay. Okay. Let me just try and talk about two things very, very briefly. One of them we referenced before. The using osumosa to prove things, the Rambam in general has opposition to that. Why would someone oppose some of what the Rambam writes? So that may be that there are other Rishonim. If you look into the Ramban, if you look a little bit in some of the Rishonim, the Beis HaLevi speaks about this. There are Rishonim that maintain that some of these nevuahs, maybe even a nevuah for good that's public, could be undone. That there are some of these nevuahs, it's not so clear that all nevuah is really as ironclad, and that some nevuah is something which is not going to be anywhere near as certain, and you're going to be stuck on some level trying to figure out, you know, is someone really considered to be undone or not. The Ramban understands, it's a very famous Ramban, this comes up for Rosh Hashanah time, that the only way that we have a nevuah which really lasts forever is not when it's only said, but rather when you do some physical act to almost concretize the words of the nevuah. That's the only way that the nevuah, said the Ramban and Sefer Bereishis, ever becomes actually permanent. It's not about good versus public, it's about concretizing a certain act. That's why the Achronim point out, that's the mucker for the Gemara in Horios or Krisos, that we have simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Why do we have simanim on Rosh Hashanah? We're trying to concretize good things. The Ramban understands that's how we really establish nevuah. It may be on some level that it's about predicting, but the way that we predict it's possible is really going to come through some sort of a physical act. Let me elaborate on one additional nekuda, and that's the following. The problem is like this. The Rambam does think, I'll share on one additional aside, another way that we can know that someone's considered to be a Navi, says the Rambam, is if you are someone who is, if another Navi testified about you, so then we know that you're considered to be a Navi. Yehoshua did not do any crazy miracles, but we knew that Yehoshua was a Navi because Moshe Rabbeinu told us that Yehoshua was a Navi. That's also a way that you could do it. The problem is like this. The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yesodei Torah seems to say something which is a little bit different. We'll speak about a question, we'll then give a resolution, and hopefully at the end we'll actually know things about how we clarify who's a Navi or not. Says the Rambam, I do think in Hilchos in Perek Zayin, there are times where we will ask a Navi to do an os. There are times where we will ask a Navi to do an os, and he writes, if he does an os, v'lo kol ha'osa osu mofeis ma'aminin osa shu navi, ela adam sha'yinu yodim bo mitchilaso shu roi l'nevuah b'chachmaso, uve ma'isav shus ala behen al kol b'nei gilo, ha'im halish b'darchi ha'nevuah v'kdushasa v'prishusa. If we know someone's roi for a navi, he does miracles, says the Rambam in Perek Zayin, we're going to believe him. The Rambam here in Perek Zayin seems to have a Gaonim type model, where the Rambam says that there are times where we really do. Osu mofeis, the Rambam says, even in Perek Zayin, I don't know for sure that osu mofeis really work. Nevertheless, the Rambam sometimes, when it's osu demosim, you're really going to have to believe someone. So what is it for the Rambam? It's about telling the future about osu demosim. So I'll share with you a resolution which will give us a little bit more insight. It's complicated, Rambam, how to figure these things out. Say from Mechze Elyon, written by Yonah. Where's the author from? Say from Mechze Elyon?
Chicago.
So the Rabbi Sender? Is he, yeah. He'll probably be there for Shabbos. So let give you like, send regards. That was fine, right? Is that a bad joke or no? It's not a good joke.
Okay.
Nothing's wrong with Shabbos. I feel like you're not sensitive to that. I don't know why. I can't fathom what would make him feel uncomfortable. He suggests the following. This is based on some achronim, and this one he navis. This is going to be important. Nevi'im really do two different things. Nevi'im really do two different things for the Rambam, and this is going to be how we figure things out. There are some Nevi'im that are primarily there to give us chizuk. Some Nevi'im are there to give us chizuk. Let's be better at this or be better at that. When you learn Nach, so some Nevi'im are there about, don't just bring your karbanos and think that it's all good. You can't steal and think that it's all good. It's about giving chizuk. That's one function of a Navi. There is a second function of a Navi, and the second purpose of a Navi is to tell the future. You have Nevi'im Akadikach that if you lost an object, can't find your passport, go to the local Navi. So unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, who can get Nevu whenever he wants, but he'll like do his thing, he'll go into his like private room where he'll like get into a good zone. You have to be Simcha, have to be nice, and there'll be some music playing, and he'll sit back and relax, and he'll find out, oh my god, okay, the passport is here. And they're the Nevi'im that come along that tell you about the future. Those Nevi'im are the Nevi'im that are in each one has a contrast. The Navi who's mechazek you is in contrast to the person who's telling you to go worship Avodah Zarah. Like the Mesis, the one who's convincing you to do bad things. One function of a Navi is a person who gives you Divrei Chizuk. Another function of a Navi is a Navi who tells the future. That's in contrast to like the sorcerers. That's in contrast to the people that the Ovin Yadoim, people that are going to try to contact the dead to find out what's going to happen. Those are two different purposes of a Navi. It's important to realize when you go through Tanakh, you learn Chumash, some Nevi'im are doing different kinds of things. Some Nevi'im are telling you, let's be better at this, and some Nevi'im are telling you, this is going to happen, and therefore we're predicting in a certain sense what's going to happen in the future. What Rabbi Sender suggests is that maybe there's a chiluk in the Rambam between how we ascertain who's considered to be a Navi. Undoubtedly, if you want to tap into the Ribbono Shel Olam and what he's saying, you have to be someone who's of a certain madrega. You're Shalim, Begufo, Chacham, Yitzro, you're conquered the Tahara, Gibor, Bimidosav, a certain kind of spiritual perfection. But how do we figure it out? Here there's a distinction. Perik Yudav Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, when the Rambam's telling us about all these things about what you say and the future and positive nevuas, that's talking about the Navi that comes along and predicts future. If you're talking about a Navi that's coming along to predict the future, so then what we're going to do is we're going to look at him and we're going to say, okay, you want to come in the future, let's see if you have a proven track record at predicting the future. We're going to test him in the area that he's trying to excel in. You want to tell us that X is going to happen. Now, I don't know what the people that are out there nowadays, if you follow like certain like Datilumi or Yeshivish websites, you have some of these like random people, sometimes they're always predicting like Iran's going to attack. It's like a constant. He does that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's...
His fans think he's a Navi.
I think, exactly. I think there's a line that...
His fans think he's a Navi.
They once critiqued a certain economist that he's predicted like 11 of the last 3 recessions, meaning he's just predicting all the time, and like sometimes he's right. And if you say every week something bad's going to happen, so like, you know, some of the time you're right that something bad happens, just not all the time. That's not considered to be a Navi. But you have the guys that they're always predicting like terrible things that happen. So for the Rambam, if you want to be a person who predicts the future, that's Hakdamah to Peres HaMishnah, that's Perek Yud Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. That is a case where we have to see, do you have a proven track record of actually predicting the future? Are you able to do it? What is Perek Zion about? So he suggests something that even Perek Zion, after we read it, Os means telling the future well, but he suggests Perek Zion is a different kind of Navi. Perek Zion Yisodei HaTorah is a Navi who's trying to be mechazek. He's a Navi who's trying to give a Musar Shmuz. For the Navi to give the Musar Shmuz, we want to know how seriously do we take this. We're not going to judge him based on how good he is at predicting the future. That's not his primary function. If we want to be able to judge a Navi about the future, so then what we're going to have to try to figure out is, can he do about being mechazek, then we're going to say, perform a bit of a miracle. He performs a miracle. We're not positive you're a Navi, but we're going to take your chizik somewhat seriously. At least at that point, your chizik, which is safe chizik. You're not telling us to worship Avodah Zarah. You're not telling us anything in the future. You're telling us to be better at it in Shabbos. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be better in Shabbos. So for something like that, so that's where even the Rambam understands Osos Umofsim are going to play somewhat of a role. Let me chaz where we spoke about it, try to end with a little bit of a nekuda. Next week we're going to shift back to the world of learning and speak about the role of higher powers or nevuah or things like that or baskols in the world of learning and why certain things would matter. What we tried to point out both last week and this week is really just a hakdama, an introduction to the world of nevuah. I want us in basics of prophecy, basics of what happens in Chumash, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. We pointed out last week Rambam and Kuzari, two very different models. We have similar things here. Rambam versus some of the Gaonim, the Abarbanel maybe, Josh Haran. How do we figure out who's considered to be a Navi? The Rambam happens to believe in many ways. A lot of these things are less mystical. A lot of these things are less funky in a certain sense. For the Rambam, who is a Navi? A person who's built him up to a certain level where he's tapped in to the Ribbono Shel Olam's Chachma, and he's always connected. How are we going to know if he's a Navi? Not by doing fancy tricks that much. The real way we figure out if someone's a Navi is, do they have a proven track record of being someone who is a Navi? They have a proven track record of predicting the future, and what they say ends up actually happening. Good things end up happening. A lot of these figures just predict like bad things all the time, so they would always just claim that we did tshuva for that week until the next week when they predict the bad thing. Again, I say with an incredible amount of cynicism. And when you're, but for others, it's really much more miraculous. It's much more supernatural. for the Kuzari Nevuah works that way. It's a gift of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't earn Nevuah. As much as Hashem, you were born with something holy. You're in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem chooses that He's going to bestow something upon you. It's much more supernatural. And along those lines, for many of the Gaonim, the way that you're going to prove your prophecy is by doing something which is much more supernatural. You're going to do something a little bit wild. The question on the one hand is contemporary as far as some of these people. The question gets to the core, because so much of what we have is based on the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. So much of what we have is based on the Nevi'im. Just to appreciate a little bit, sometimes there can be a bit of cynicism. The way, when we were checking, when the Sanhedrin would check for a Navi, we were dealing with figures like Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, Elisha and Eliyahu. These were not figures that we just randomly decided were prophets, the same way that like you have a cult that randomly decides that they're going to follow their leader. These are people with proven track records of 100% success in specific areas. These are people that were of a certain level of personal piety, that they were being checked by a Sanhedrin, per the Emek Bracha. For the Gaonim, maybe the Sanhedrin's even there, and they're just checking out everything, people who are looking into these things. The fear of being caught was tremendous. It's a chi of misa if you're wrong. So you're not going to get up there and start talking if what you're saying is not really true, because of the tremendous fear of the fallout of it. The authenticity of Nevuah, it has to be something which is provable. Kol zman that you did not do something, which is, you don't have that proven track record for the Rambam of multiple times, we're not going to believe you. We're not going to allow what you say or take it at all seriously. If you say anything as a Navi also, which is out of bounds, you're talking about Avodah Zarah, you're talking about Isurim, with maybe one example for the next week, there's nothing to talk about. You're not considered to be a Navi. What we try to do, I think, which is important, is to appreciate the following. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a way, Bizman Nevuah, and things shifted a little bit, but Bizman Nevuah, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a way to have continued direct contact, to have a way to communicate ideas to us. But one of the great fears about having Nevuah as a real possibility is that it can be exploited. You can have Nevi'im that are not real Nevi'im, that are coming along and claiming to be such. So part of what the Torah did and the Rishonim elaborate in different ways is to set up an elaborate system to make sure that this is going to be something which is rock solid. This can be something which we can have faith in, because there's an authenticity here. It's testable. If I can never test something, it's never as solid. If I always speak in a way where I can never clarify if what he's saying really true or not, so I'm never going to be able to find that for sure. But if you ask the Navi, where's my lost object, and he says the lost object is there, and you go there and it's not there, you have Shilas now. Is he really, could be not a Navi anymore? It's a 100% proven track record. What Nevuah is, and Nevuah comes with complete clarity. The world in which we live, and this I'll just end with, is a world that lacks Nevuah. Rav Kook has a famous discussion, the Chacham Adif Minavi, that Gemara and Baba Basra, which many of us learned, about comparing the Chacham and the Navi. Nevuah represents one form of Avodas Hashem. When you would worship Hashem in the era of Nevuah, it was a very different kind of Avodas Hashem. Could be if you had certain childs that they spoke about, you would go to the Navi and he would tell you what to do. There was much less personal initiative, and you were just going, you were much more passive. You would go to the Navi. It was also an era in which you had complete clarity. One of the challenges of our world is that absent Nevuah, for whatever reason, that level of complete clarity is something which is not always there. We would love to have the clarity, not just the cool clarity of the guy telling me where's my lost object. I don't know where my Yad Ramah is, some hedging from 12 years ago. And I would love someone to tell me, by the way, it's, you know, wherever it happens to be. I left some farm here when I left Yishalvim to go back to America when I was like after my Shonen Bet, whatever it was, and like they're gone. I would love someone to tell me where they were. Out of spite, I've never bought new ones. I'm just hoping and holding out hope that one day it's going to reappear. But there's clarity even greater than that. We'd love to know what to do. We'd love to go to someone who could tell us, this is what you should do in your future. This is who you should marry. There's a certain... Our world is not a world that offers complete clarity the same way, but we can have faith in the system that's predicated on this level of emuna, authenticity. This stuff is real. It was checked. Bodkin, Oso, we're going to try to elaborate. Part of the struggle that we have in life is that absent a nevuah, so that means that we have to a lot more personal initiative. We spoke about that's part of what Torah Shebaal Peh offers us. Part of Torah Shebaal Peh is to offer us what to do, not by being having these miraculous events that fit in the future, but being able to work on our own and try to gain a little bit of clarity. What we're going to speak about next week is it has to do with how much the world of nevuah, some beautiful ripsadoks that are very, very important, and we'll learn some of the sugya here in Baba Basra. But what do we do, the role of a Navi, the role of a Navi in the world of learning, it's a different kind of Nevuah Hashem. May we zocha to have the return of nevuah speedily in our days. Shkayach, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.